Good morning, Gateway. Welcome to our morning worship. Please stand if you are able and join us as we sing praises to God. Let's worship Him in spirit and in truth, for this is the time to worship. Let's give praise to God.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come. Time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, just as you are. Come, just as you are.
Please take an opportunity to greet those around and about you if you haven't had an opportunity. Modern technology and I are having a challenge with each other this morning. Hopefully I will win. isn't it a wonderful day? Good or two shower of rain the past few days, and it does change the atmosphere, praise the Lord. And we just pray that the predictions for today may come right, and that we will have a good few downpours by this evening. But we trust in the good Lord and in His mercy. Just a reminder of our evening service this evening at 6 p.m. Please join us as we gather together to worship Jesus in a very intimate way and to come into His presence, knowing that by the power of His Holy Spirit that He is very present and that He guides and blesses us as we prepare for a busy week. Can't believe it's nearly mid-November. Just a reminder, please, that of the Gala Night, that is on the 16th of November. That's next Saturday, am I correct? Just making sure. And it's 100 rand per person. It's a three-course meal. I hear there will be live music. They couldn't get Liberace, but they got Paul. Thanks, Paul. Mac, can you stand up, please? And you see that big guy there? He would like you to pay him for tickets for the gala evening. So if you could all just speak to Mac and arrange tickets with him. ASAP, I have on the note. So that means as soon as possible. Then, just a reminder that next week, this time, I will be on my bicycle, trying to ride around Joburg. I know there are easier ways, like a car, but I just thought for fun, I'll do it on a bicycle. And I'm starting off at the F&B Stadium and finishing off at the F&B Stadium. It's a distance of 97 kilometers. So don't be fooled by the 94.7. It's 97 kilometers. And I would like you to consider supporting me through sponsorship. The sponsorship is 50% towards the youth summer camp. And the other 50% is towards, on the 30th of November, we are having a Thanksgiving outreach to those who are less fortunate in our community. It's a Thursday. And so if I could ask you please to consider sponsoring. The sponsorship sheets are on this side. I might be list for a sheep after my ride, but not now. And over there. So if you could just fill them in and consider sponsoring. And then on the 24th of November, which is Sunday in about 2 weeks' time, we shall be having our Thanksgiving service. And the theme for that Sunday is Testimonies of Thanksgiving. And just a reminder, too, that the Children's Church will be, as part of that, be doing a concert with us. They've got a few items that they're going to be doing with us. And just want to warn you, please bring your aerobics shoes as we are going to be young again just for a short while. But that is on the 24th of November as we have our Thanksgiving service. There's a lot going to happen, a great time together. And then, of course, afterwards we are going to share a meal together in thanksgiving for what God has done for us in 2024. I also just received a note for the children's church that, just a reminder to the parents, don't collect your children directly after the service today. They will be having a quick practice in the church. It shouldn't be more than 15 minutes. You can collect the children from the children's church hall once they are finished. Our God is good, and today we come into His presence just thankful for who He is, and I pray this morning that as we spend time in worship with Him, that God's grace and mercy will come upon us. So let's stand and worship God together.
Lord, we just want to thank You for this privilege that we can come to Your house and worship You. Father, we just pray that You will work in our midst. You will open our eyes, Lord, that we will be obedient to You, Father God. Let's sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see.
God's amazing grace that we are saved, and we need to share to the world that only God can save you. Let's sing Amazing Grace.
Chains are gone, that's in church.
because of that grace, Lord, we want to speak your name. Because your name has the power to save, has the power to heal, has the power to release us from all anxieties and depression. So Lord, work in our midst right now as we speak your name. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak a holy name, Jesus. Let's shout Jesus, shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing. Let's claim it, church. Your name is love. Over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Yes, Lord. worthy is your name, Father God. You deserve all our praise. We want to exalt you, Lord. We want to lift your name. As we sing worthy. For saving us, for all your goodness in our lives. We just want to honor you, Lord, We just want to praise you. And we pray, Father God, as we listen to your word, you will speak to our hearts and that we will respond with obedience, Father. That we will always honor you. We will always glorify you. Father, we pray that you bless Pastor Wayne as he delivers your word. And we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will work in our needs. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to be in the Lord's presence and to know that He is God, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that in His grace He has all things under His control. Amen. Amen. This morning I'd like to share with you from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made into human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess or acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God bless to us the reading of His word. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth, that your word is life. And Lord, I pray this morning as we come to the preaching of your word, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you will speak into each of our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you will transform each of our hearts. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your blood will cover each and every one of us this morning. Even those, Lord, who are streaming, I pray, Lord, that the blood of Christ will just come upon us, that the blood of Christ will cleanse us, that the blood of Christ will protect us. For we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that you will open our ears to your word and that our lives may be transformed by this word. For Lord, we know that the battle belongs to the Lord. And so Lord, I pray that as we trust in you, Lord, that you may go before us and that you will continue to bring victory to each of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I do a wedding, I at times use images, I at times use illustrations to help a young couple as they stand before me. And I always tell the couple, don't be disturbed by which piece of wood is bigger than the other. It has nothing to do with the size, but it's about there being a husband and a wife, or a husband or a wife. As I say, it doesn't really matter what the size may be, but what I try to encourage the young couple to understand is that if they want their marriage to work, is that they need Jesus Christ to be central to their marriage. I actually tell them that Jesus, and as I say, no insult intended or blasphemy, but I always tell them that Jesus needs to be the wingnut of their marriage. And if I put this here and I screw it on, maybe I should oil this a bit before I did it. But what I always tell them is that no matter how hard I shake this, what happens? They're together. So no matter what storm they may go through, whatever they may experience, Jesus will hold them together. But if you don't have Jesus as the center, sometimes, you know, we live in a world where image is everything. And it may seem as if they're holding it together. It may seem that they may be holding it together. But then the storm comes, and what happens? But this illustration is also something that we can use in the church. We're all the children of God. We come in all shapes and forms. And the fact is that we need to always be focused on Jesus. He always needs to be the wingnut. He needs to be the center of everything we do. And it's when we have faith and hope in Jesus and through the power of His Holy Spirit that He keeps us together. And the Apostle Paul kind of summarizes it quite nicely. He says, all I desire is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in a sense, what Paul is saying is that the church may be made up of different people. Different people may be involved in how the church grows. There's a point where he says, some sow, some water, and some come to harvest. The fact is we all have a part to play. But at the end of the day, who do we focus on? We focus on Jesus. A question was once asked of Mahatma Gandhi on why he never considered becoming a Christian. He responded with these words, I like your Christ, but not your Christianity. In these words of Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. J.H. Holmes summed up the Indian leader's view of Christianity in a recent interview with a Crimson reporter. Dr. Holmes, professor of philosophy at Swarthmore College and a member of the Society of Friends, had just completed a tour around the world during which he spent some time in India. He had several opportunities of conversing with Gandhi. He was present at the meeting of the All Indian Congress and had the honor of being the only Westerner ever allowed to speak from their platform. Continuing in Gandhi's words, Dr. Holmes said, "I believe," these are the words of Gandhi, "I believe in the teaching of Christ, but you on the other side of the world do not. I read the Bible faithfully and see little in Christendom that those who profess faith pretend to see. The Christians, above all others, are seeking after wealth. Their aim is to be rich at the expense of their neighbors. They come among aliens to exploit them for their own good and claim and cheat them to do so. Their prosperity is far more essential to them than their life, than the life, liberty, and happiness of others. The Christians are the most warlike people." These words were spoken by Gandhi in 1927. Sadly, in the 21st century, church unity has been further hampered by the philosophy of the self. Stephen V. Roberts writes, "In this age of self, the language is filled with phrases that glorify personal choice above all other values. Self-determination, self-knowledge, self-esteem, self-help, even do it yourself. In this climate, no doctrine is safe, no dictate accepted without scrutiny. The touchstone of belief today is the individual, not the institution. Priests, like precinct captains, have lost authority. The same voters who talk back to their political leaders are parish council. The same voters who talk back to their political leaders on call-in shows and town meetings are talking back to their religious leaders at parish council meetings and communion breakfasts. While 85% of American Catholics look up to the Pope as a moral leader, 4 out of 5 say they follow their own conscience rather than papal authority on moral questions. The phrase cafeteria Catholics describes those who pick and choose among church teachings. But in religion, as in politics, the more appropriate analogy for modern mores is to fast food rather fast food rather than to cafeterias. As a slogan for one hamburger chain puts it, have it your way. How do leaders lead when followers don't want to be led? We live in an age today where people do everything by feeling. So I don't feel too great this morning, I may or may not come to church. Or if I'm not feeling too great, I would rather stay in bed. But if you lived your life on feeling, how much of a life will you have? There are times in life that if we based our lives on feeling, we would lose out on so much that God has in store for us. There are times that we have to, through discipline, walk with God. There are times in life when you may not really feel up to something, but you know that you have to do it because it's something that is far greater than yourself. Just imagine if you're a parent and you were looking after your child. and you based your life on feelings, I think your child will probably not be fed. I think your child probably won't know how to clothe themselves. But yet you force yourself as a parent to get up. You force yourself as a parent, even if you've had a really busy day, but yet you've got to go in front of that stove and you have to cook food to sustain your family. If you did it on feeling, I think your family would be dead now because they would be hungry. Fortunately, by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul has a solution to the selfishness of this world. 2,000 years ago, he wrote these words to the church in Philippi. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Whose interest? Yours. Isn't that what it says today? It's all about me. It's all about the trinity of the self. Me, my, and I. No. Of others. Look to your neighbor and say, others. I'm here today. Say, I'm here today to look at your interest. Are you just saying that or do you mean that? Okay. Bible says, look at the interests of others. Not the interest they have in the bank. But what do they enjoy? What do they love doing? The solution to selfishness is to look beyond ourselves. Indeed, we look to the person and example of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It always blows my mind that God, the creator and sustainer of the world, humbled himself and became nothing. We live in a world today where we've got to be something. We've got to climb that ladder of success. And it doesn't matter who we trample on to get there, but I've got to be something. But I like what Andre said a few weeks back. Sometimes people put the ladder on the wrong wall. Who is your ladder on? Is your ladder on the self? Or is your ladder on Jesus? But the ladders that Jesus makes is big enough for us all to share. We don't have to step over each other to get to the top. We actually share the way up to get to the top. But it always blows my mind that God the Father, he is the sovereign of this world, and he is in absolute control of all that he has created. But yet he became God incarnate. He became flesh. And he dwelt amongst us. He humiliated himself. I know it says in that scripture he humbled himself, but he actually humiliated himself so much that he became, that he, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Did he deserve to die? Was he such an awful guy that he deserved to die? Was he criminal? Was he a murderer? No. It says he was innocent. He did not have one drop of sin on himself. But yet he was prepared. He made himself nothing. He humiliated himself. And he gave his life for you and for me on this emblem of execution. He gave himself for you and for me, not because we deserved it, but because he loves us. He loves us. How could Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, do this for all of us? It all had to do with attitude, his mindset. A chaplain was speaking to a soldier on a cot in a hospital. "You have lost an arm in the great cause," he said. "No," said the soldier with a smile. "I didn't lose it. I gave it." In that same way, Jesus did not lose his life. He gave it purposefully. The right attitude can have a very positive outcome in your life. If you are going to spend your life being pessimistic and see everything in a bad light, how do you think your life is going to turn out? Good or bad? Bad. But if you are positive and you see the goodness of God and you see the goodness of God in everything, how do you believe your life is going to turn out? Positive. And well. And happy. Yes, there will be challenges in life. And yes, we will get hurt at times. And yes, we will sometimes have to cycle some long distances. But you do it with the right attitude, and you will see glorious things begin to happen in your life. In the anatomy of illness, as perceived by the patient, Norman Cousins tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. When it was diagnosed, it was diagnosed as incurable. And Cousins checked out of the hospital, aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body. Cousins reasoned the reverse was true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of Marx Brothers films and old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. They did a study a couple of years ago where they had people who had cancer, and what they did was they got all these people together to see what the effects of prayer would be on cancer. So people knew they had cancer, but some of the people were not Christians, so they just died. But there were people who were Christian and who prayed every day that Jesus would heal them from their cancer. And of those 50%, 75% survived their cancer. Because what did they do? They prayed to Jesus. Yes, not everybody was healed, but 75% is a pretty good number out of 50%. Am I confusing you now? Okay, I'm glad Jeff didn't get confused. So. The Apostle Paul realized how important our attitude is in the world, especially in our relationship with fellow believers. He understood that unity was essential in the sharing of the gospel to an unsaved world. Therefore, by using a very popular hymn or song of his time, he wrote these words. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Finally, my friends, in our relationship with one another, may we have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we seek the unity of the church at all costs. I've always wondered what would happen if all Christians understood the profound purpose of unity, especially in our nation, South Africa. 80% of the nation claim to be Christian. 80%. Turn to your neighbor and say 80%. 80% of the nation claim to be Christian. Just imagine how different our nation would be if we truly sought to have the same mindset of Jesus Christ in all our relationships as a nation. Just imagine. I close with this thought from Austin Gentry. One of the most classic quotes in modern day Christianity when referring to evangelism is one that is most often attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You see this quote everywhere, and for good measure too. I think that's because its message resonates with many Christians about the importance of living a life of such Christ-likeness that it makes the world stop, think, and inquire about the Jesus you serve. Hopefully not in a weird way, but in an attractive way. The sentiment behind Assisi's quote certainly makes a point evangelistically, especially since the single greatest reason people turn away from Christianity is because of its members' hypocrisy. Those who claim Christ with their mouths and beliefs, but proclaim anything but Christ in their actions and lifestyles. So yes, exemplifying the nature of Christ to the world by demonstrating to others what Jesus has demonstrated to us is certainly an important, necessary, and critical part of what it means to be salt and light as a Christian. And so, my friends, let us unite. Let us allow Jesus to be the wing nut at Gateway. May we seek the very best in one another. May we love one another, warts and all. Let's love one another as Christ has loved us. And let us be united in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the world is in desperate need for salvation. And you and I hold the key. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it is only in Jesus that we have salvation. And so, Lord, I pray that as Gateway, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that we will unite, that we will, Lord, become one in Christ. Yes, Lord, it doesn't call us to uniformity. We don't all have to look the same. But yet, Lord, you call us to unity. You call us, Lord, to be of one mind and of one heart and of one spirit. And so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon us. And I pray, Lord, that Jesus Christ may be our wing nut, that Jesus Christ may hold us together as we seek, Lord, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a needy world. Oh, Lord, may we, through our unity, bring salvation to our community. And Lord, indeed, be with us as we seek you. May we find you, Lord, and may our hearts be filled with joy. May our hearts, Lord, be filled with the attitude of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we may always seek that others are better than us, so that we may build up your kingdom and that we may see salvation come to our world. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about the message, let us take up the offering.
I seriously gave thought to praying as part of the offering that the Springboks would win this afternoon, but that would be entirely appropriate. So, Heavenly Father, we don't mind if Scotland lose. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Lord our God, we come before you with grateful hearts for so many gifts of so many years. As we approach Armistice Day tomorrow, we pray for the families of those who gave their lives an ultimate sacrifice for the freedom of the world, for the freedom to be able to worship you in your house. We pray for those parts of the world where Christianity or being a Christian is still considered punishable by execution. We pray that the church will unite to spread your word way over the world. We now come before you with our small gifts, simply returning to you a portion of what you have given to us. We give you thanks for always being there for us and for taking care of us. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together At the Cross.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. We're all I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love run red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down, here. surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we owe all to you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this new week, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come upon us. And Lord, I pray that you will guide us in all that we say and do. Indeed, Lord, may we stand united and may we see the unsaved come to Christ and may we rejoice in their salvation. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us and see you next Sunday. Have a blessed week, everyone. Enjoy fellowship over coffee and tea. And the elders are here to pray over you if you need.
Never return, I've closed the door. I will walk the path, I will run the race, and I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I can never return, I've closed the door. Walk the path, I will run the race, and I will never be the same again. For like fire, soak like rain, flow like mighty waters again and again, sweep away the darkness, burn away the shadows. Let a flame burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights, there are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do it. mighty waters again and again. Sweep away the darkness, burn away the shame, and let our flame burn to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I can never return. Close the door. I will walk the path. I will run the race, and I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same again.
Tech team.